We are in this series called Added. And why are we in this series? Basically, in everything that we do, we put on different lenses. Pastor talked about the different lenses that we put. So whether is it if we are in a family, we put our family lens and what we need to do. And if we are in the working place or we are in a business, we put our business lens and our working lens and what should we do? How can we pretend to work but still do our best, right? Added is really a series and we want to see this. How does the church in the three different lenses, which is the first one is the biblical lens. What does the Bible says about the church? Secondly, we want to talk about the vision lens. Where is this church going to? What is this church doing about? What is this church about? What do we believe in? And that is the second lens, which is the vision lens. And the prophetic lens, which is the God's ultimate plan. How is he going to put our church, how is he going to put the whole piece together in this ultimate plan of his? Three lens that we want to see. So talking about Added, it's really about how can we be added into the church. So in Acts chapter 2, we talk about that the first church, how did they come about, how did they form, and all those kind of things. And ultimately, how do we being added into the church? I have a story about Added. You know, many years ago, when I was a student, if those that know me back then or even now, if I go to a new place, you will know that I'm someone that is very reserved. I don't like to talk to people. It's impossible for me to come out on stage. Yeah, so I'm a pure introvert. I really find it very hard to make friends, especially back then. So I went to university, went to KDU. When I first went to KDU, what happened was I went to class, and the class is probably about 30, 40 students. So roughly we know each other's faces. But for 3 months, I really don't feel belong in the class. I don't have any friends. I don't have anyone in the class. So what I do is I go to class, then I'll go back. I'll go to class and go back. That was in my foundation year. I went to KDU because of a friend. So he introduced me to CF. So I'm very close with the CF friend because I have a close friend there. So I can be myself. So I can tell Joe. I can really be myself. So one day, this CF, they have something like a gathering in someone's house. So I went to the house. Then, lo and behold, I found that that house, most of my classmates are in that house. About 4 or 5 of them are in that house. And when I went there, then they saw a different side of me. And they said, wow, you are a very different person. I cannot recognize you at all. That's what my friends say at that time. Then from then on, when the next day when I go to class, everything changes. I found that I have friends. So somehow, somewhere, I've been part of that college group again. So that is how Added is for me at that time. Today, if you are new here, this is your first time here, I really want to encourage you to, after service, go and talk to someone, or at least come in front whether is it say hi to Pastor Sean, say hi to me, and we really want to know you, and we really want to welcome you in this place. If this is your first time here, we really want to welcome you. But if you have been here for many, many times, we also want to welcome you. But then there's the difference. If you have not been in a discipleship, whether you are not been in a life group, you are not being serving, I want to encourage and urge you that you want to do that so that you will be able to feel belong. If you really don't feel belong in this church, by doing that, you will be able to at least find some friends and feel belong in this place. So I lead the campus team. Recently, we have 2 additional. Just last Friday, Nika from Philippines just joined us. And then a few months ago, CJ, just now the pianist, he joined us. And by him joining us, I don't know whether he felt added or not, but I felt that the campus group, we added someone. And really, I found out more about him. What does he do? What are the things that he like? What does he do when he is free? And then how he come to know God and all those kind of things. Then as he joined the campus team, then I felt that someone was added into the team. And that is what really added is all about. In this whole series, really, we want to talk about one serves. The first week, we talk about serving. It's about like all of us need to be part of a ministry. Serving is what God calls to do. Secondly, we want to be belong. We're part of a life group. Thirdly, today, we are going to talk about one gifts, about giving. Then next week and the following week, about making disciples and grow to lead. This is a picture of the campus team just recently. And in this picture, it's very interesting. So recently, I have the opportunity to disciple a guy, a student. And guess how old is that student? He's half my age. I was like, wow, you are half my age. I cannot believe it. And then currently, a few of them that join us, they are 17, 18 years old. So I remember I told the one that I'm discipling, I told him about, you know, thank God that I grew up in a time where I enjoy a lot of things when I was young. When I was young, I get to go out from my house anytime I want. I go outside my house, I can play marble, I can cycle around the time I have a group of friends. And I really enjoy that. And also, at the same time also, I grew up in a time where we have bigger faith at that time. Wherever I want to go from KD1, go one Jama, I will go out from my house with my friends. And by faith, we go out and we pray that there will be a taxi that will pass by. At the same time, we also pray that the taxi is empty so that the taxi will take us to one Utama. And that student don't understand because now we have Grab. Everything is, you just Grab. Then I told him that when I first went into sales, I did sales in a shipping company. The first thing we have to do is we need to buy two books. One is a huge directory of all the manufacturing companies in Malaysia, because we do import-export, so basically we need to cold call all of them. So the whole book, we just start from A, call until Z. So hopefully we get some contacts based on that. So that's the first book we need to get. The second book we need to get is the directory of Selangor and KL. Yeah, the map of Selangor and KL. So back then, there's no such thing as Waze. How do you find another place? So you use the map. Then it will show you the road. Then connect to page 365. Then you go 365. Then after you connect to page 264, you connect. So you put a lot of clips along while you are going to. So you stop by in the road. Okay, refer. Oh, okay, now use this road. So most of the time I get lost. And I really thank God now for Waze. So at the same time in the campus, recently we go into a series. We want to do like the church and we want to be more in. So we say, okay, let's do a series. And the series is really about, I wish I knew. I wish I knew so that I don't suffer back then. So it's basically to help students to go through the different struggles that they have. Big struggles. The first one is identity. Who they are, why are they doing what they're doing, why, where are they going, what is God's purpose for them. That was the first week. And then we lead them and to tell them that, hey, really, discipleship is for you. And we want you to be part of a discipleship group. Basically, discipleship will help you. Someone that has been there will be able to guide you and help you. And hopefully, through that journey, you will be able to find your purpose. Okay, that's the first week. And secondly, we talk about loneliness. In this generation where we have everything, we have app, we have phone, everything is connected, we can connect. I know what my friend in Hong Kong is doing now, what my friend in UK, what is she doing now? I really can know because we are all connected through the Instagram, through the Facebook and all the social media. But then, as much as we are connected, but we feel lonely, somehow we still feel lonely. We don't feel that connectedness as we do last time. And I told them that, you know, it is healthier to eat bak kut teh together than eating broccoli alone. So it's really, that is the cure for loneliness, is to be part of a life group. Today, if you are eating broccoli alone, please come together and let's eat bak kut teh together. We encourage them to be part of a life group. Yeah, so you see, now they got some smile, got strawberry and all those kind of things. So to be part of a life group. And thirdly, just 2 days ago, we talked about selfishness. That in the root of each and every one of us, ultimately, we think about ourselves and what we do is all about what I get, what I want, and everything is about me, 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 and me first, right? And really, what is the antidote of that? How can we solve that? A hard question, and Ruth did that session. So ultimately, the antidote is to put yourself in another person's shoe, and at the same time, to start serving and giving. Be more generous, and that will help us to be less selfish. That was the 3 series. So how do I connect today's message? We are in this series called Added. And this is the 3rd part. I'm going to talk about giving. What I want to achieve at the end of this message is this. Going back from here, you will understand what does the Bible says about giving, or practically what does the church did in the first few days when they started the church, and how did they see giving as. Then secondly, talk about what does this church believe about in terms of giving. Okay, what is church stand about giving? Thirdly is when should we give? And lastly, why do we want to give? What I hope to achieve by the end of today's message. So giving. Come to think of it. Why do we want to give? Or what do we give? Or why do we give? So I categorize it into three different areas. You know, I have a question. If there is someone in need, will you give them? What if you know that person will use that money well? Will you give to them? What if you know that the person deserves that money? Will you give it to them? Giving is somehow, for some of us, it's very hard, but for some of us, it's quite easy. Today, let us look what does the Bible says about giving. Okay, so there's three categories. There's three mentality when it comes to giving. First is we got to give. There are times when I felt I got to give, or even you will feel that you got to give. There is no choice. You have to give. Say, for example, today, government decided whether you like it or you don't like it, I'm going to increase SST from 6% to 15%. What will you do? Wow, very pain. But what to do? You still got to give. There is no choice. You have to give. Income tax, the same thing. Whether you like it, you don't like it, if the government decided to increase it, you got to give. There is no choice to you. So sometimes we felt that way, that we got to give. When you come to church, you might felt this way, that I come to church, the church wants my money, so I got to get. When I was first coming to church, I remember someone told me, the church is all about getting your money. What they want is, you can go to church, but as long as you don't give them your money, you can already. So that was somehow someone told me about that. And when I came to church, I realized that it's not that church is about your money or God wants your money. It's not about that. Some of us, maybe we sit here, then we feel that, every time the usher passes, I feel very pressure. I need to give. I just need to give. If I don't give, then I feel bad. So I feel pressured to give. That is the God to give. So that is the first mentality. Then there is the second mentality, is give to get. So if I give something, I hope that I'll get something in return, right? So say, for example, today I help you. Make sure tomorrow, if I have need, you help me back, right? Sometimes we have this kind of mentality. So whether is it in workplace, today I'll help you this. I'll help you to cover this area. So make sure next time when I have issue, make sure if I ask for help, I will expect, even though I didn't say it, but I will expect you to cover for me also, right? So when I give, I expect something in return. Or sometimes when we give something, then we expect that there is many much fold of return. So that is the second mentality, that when you come to church, it's about give to get. That today, I need to give something so that God will be able to bless me. If I don't give, God will not bless me. So sometimes we have that kind of mentality. The Bible did say, as the different person, as they give, God bless them. But it's not all the time. It's not all the time that when we give, God definitely will bless. Right? So this is the second mentality sometimes we have. We treat God as a genie. That every time we ask, we give something, we hope that, He will give something back in return. He will bless our life. He will take care of our family or do different things. And we give in order so that we will be able to get. And that's the second mentality. And what about the third one? It's about get to give. It's about I have the opportunity to give. I am blessed enough to be able to give. Let's look at about what does the church in the first era of the church, and how did they give at that time. Let's look into Acts 4. I'll read to you. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Following verse, and it says, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. A few weeks ago, Pastor Sean talked about the first church in Acts. Jesus already resurrected. And this group of people, they felt that, okay, now we need to gather and do something because God calls to make disciples and all those. They gather together, like all of us here, we gather together, about maybe about 100 of them, 70, 100 plus of them. So they gather together and say, what should we do? Because this is the first time, they don't have any reference how to do church. Is it we need to have a band to sing song? We need to have ushers? Don't know. So they come together, and what they do is they break bread together, they share together, and one of the things that they did was they bring whatever they have. So basically the background is like this. The church started, and then Holy Spirit came, and then God added to them 3,000. Then the second one was 5,000. So imagine, about 100 of us here, Holy Spirit came, and then God added to us 3,000. Imagine the refreshment team. At that time, they don't come from Jerusalem alone. They come from different areas. They came and they heard God's message and they were added into the church. So basically, they left. Let's say, for example, I'm from Klang. Now, you travel, potentially, depends on how fast you drive. I drive 30 minutes, Ruth drive 15 minutes. So now it's maybe 30 minutes. But at that time, you imagine 30 km away, just 30 km, not far, ma. But then for them, they have to walk. And that is very far. So few hours from their home. So they come, maybe they bring a bit of food. Maybe it can last them 1 or 2 days. But then after that, how? There's no food. They don't have work. How are they going to survive then? So basically, the church, the people then, at that time, they saw that there is a need. The first word that they said was, how was the early church giving? The first one is they were together. You know, just now that verse, it says that they are in one heart and one mind. So they are together in Christ. Everyone is like my brother and my sisters. And whatever they need, their need is also my need. At that time, everyone is together. They see themselves as together. That whatever they have, it belongs to each other. So they give sacrificially. They give willingly. So some of them, they have houses. They have some assets or something. Then they sell them so that they will provide to the church. And those people that come, they will be able to be fed and they will continue to be able to have fellowship and breaking of bread and all those kind of things. So that's the first one. They realize that they are all in this together. That's the first one. The second one, earlier that verse, it talks about that God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. They realized that God's grace is with them. And they are able to give because they realize that what God has done for them, and it's really through God's grace that I'm able to do what I do. And thirdly, if you look at how the first church gave, it says that they are very missional. At that time, it was John and Peter. They are the one that go out and share the gospel. They go everywhere and they share the gospel. So they saw that mission, that so many people need to hear about who Christ is. That's why they give. They know that they have to give because there is a need. At the same time, they also need to give to this mission. So they are very missional. So the three areas, together, grace, and missional, that's how the first church gave. How can it apply to us today? I've been in this church for many years. As I think about it, I really base my life from this parable. The parable of the 5 talents. The parable of the 5 talents is this. There's a man that is going away. Maybe go overseas or something. We don't know. But then he entrusted his property to 3 servants, 3 persons. The first one, he gave 1 talent. The second one, he gave 2 talents. And the third one, he gave 5 talents. After some time, he came back. The one with 5 talents came and told him, he said, what you have gave me, the 5 talents, I added another 5 talents. Then the second one came and said, you gave me 2 talents. I have added another 2 talents. And the third one came and says, you gave me 1 talent. And I know that you are very stingy one. I know you're very kiam siap one. So I keep it all. I keep it so that it doesn't go anywhere. And now this is your 1 talent. Then the master basically scolded him and say, why didn't you at least put it into a bank? At least it will give us some interest. So he said that you are lazy and all those. So as I look at that parable, and realize this, sometimes we might be like the 1 talent person. Say, I have not enough. How can I give? I already not enough. how to give. I better keep it all for myself, right? The second one, I'm able to relate to that person with only two talents. Sometimes there are some that will, two talents, and they look at the five talents and say, wow, God, you are so not fair. Why did you give me two and you give them five? Is that person more langzai? I don't know. Is that person better? I don't know. But then why, God, did you give him five? Why you give me two? And you felt that, God, you are so unfair. Why did you give me only two? So I cannot give because God only give me two. So I cannot be a blessing because God only give me two. Ask from the person that has five. He has so much. Why not you just ask from him? He should be able to give. Well, sometimes we have that lens and looks that way. I look at it this way. I grew up, like I say, I'm very quiet. I don't like to talk to people and all those. And I always see my life as I do not have much talent. If you know me, you know that I cannot sing. I do sing. But wherever I sing, my daughters will tell me, Daddy, can you please don't sing? And then during the campus years, we have this audition to dance. I say, okay, why not I go and try dancing? But I always slow by one step. So then I realized that I cannot dance. So as I look at my life, wow, there's so many things I cannot do. I don't have much talent. But then I remember this passage and I remember God asked me, look at what you have. And just look at what you have. And how can you serve based on what you have? Just based on what I have. So at that time, I remember I'm a very blessed person. I don't need a lot of money. I'm good where I am. I don't really need. I'm able to give to the church. First one. Then, at that time, I have a car. And I thank God that I'm able to fetch different ones. And I say, okay, I can fetch people. So I fetch people with a car. And just started with that, and just to be able to serve based on that. So I just look at what I have. And as I look back, I realize that God has blessed me so much, whether in terms of my family. So as I give over the years, I realize that I have never been in lack. I always have enough. I have more than enough. That whatever I do, even as I give to people, but I am always have enough and more than enough. So where am I trying to tell you? You know, today, I'm really thankful. I'm really thankful for, first of all, that God died on the cross for me. That if without God, without Jesus dying on the cross, I will never have someone to hold on to. I won't have someone that will strengthen me. And really, really thank God for that. The second one, just now what I shared, I thank God for the little talents that I have. Many years ago, I would never imagine that I would stand up on stage to talk to. Even to lead a live group, it was very difficult for me. So I thank God that over the years, God has added, give me different opportunity to share and all those kind of things. And I really thank God for the church and these two talents that I have that I'm able to serve God. And lastly, this church is all about giving. We have a coffee machine. How many of you love coffee here? We have a coffee machine. It's not bought by the church. It's what someone saw a need and they put it in the church for us to use. And you look at around you, the worship team, different one, they serve, they give their time so that we are able to have a service. And I remember this. I really thank God for this. I thank God that many years ago, someone invested in Sean so that he can go to Bible school. Then I thank God also at the same time, as he come back from Bible school, he decided to want to start a live group in my uni, and I'm able to meet him because I love McDonald's so much. I thank God for that. Totally, I thank God that because of the giving of different ones, and it's really someone gave at that time. Someone gave, and they saw a mission that what I'm giving today is not about today. Today, as you give, it's not about what you are investing for today. You are giving for life that will come in the future. Or people that will be touched by God, will be able to hear God's message many years later. So I am the product of that. Today I'm able to stand here because someone gave many years ago so that Sean can go to Bible schools. Sean will be able to come back and disciple me. And where I was, then someone gave and we were able to have a church back then in KDU, then to the one opposite Starbucks and to here. And all this happened is not because God just, and everything given. But it's because someone sacrificially gave. And they were able to see the whole mission of where this church is. So today in this church, one of the things we believe that all of us need to be generous. And one small step that we can take to be generous is to through tithing. And the Bible talks about tithing, that we should tithe at least 10%. So that is one small step that we can do as a church. And as we see this whole mission that God has for us, that this church, we want to continue to make disciples and we want to continue to honor God. And we can do that. One small step we can take is by tithing, which is tithing 10%. The church last time gave everything, but we just need to give 10%. Father, I thank you. I thank you for today, Lord. Father, I thank you for today's message about giving, Lord. I thank you that because someone sacrificially gave, someone sacrificially served, someone did something back then, pray for us, that today we are able to stand here before you, worshiping you. I pray that somewhere in our hearts today, as we think about it, sometimes we felt that we got to give. Sometimes we hope that as we give, we will get something in return. But Father, I pray that you will change something in our hearts, that we are able to give, we get to give because of what you have done on the cross, and at the same time, what you will do in this church for many, many generations to come. Father, I pray that you will shift that portion of our hearts, that today from on today onwards, we'll learn to be more generous and to be able to give to those that is in need.